can I get a millionaire's cheesecake, please?
Because he's just been to Dubai.
Custard cream or ice cream,
ice cream, please.
For a moment there, I thought you said custard cream or ice cream, and I was like, well, if custard cream is on the menu, that's a different story, isn't it?
Yes, cheers, my man. Thank you. Hello and welcome to edition 213 of the NRF1 podcast, your Formula One podcast straight out of Norfolk, UK. We are also on Future Radio in Norwich and brought to you by our proud partners, once again, Grand Prix Racing Online. You can sign up for the game for free by visiting nrf1.uk or gpro.net/nrf1. You know, it might cost you a lot of money come next year. That's all I'm saying. Get in there now. I am sports journalist Michael Bailey, and we are all here at the Rushcutters Public House, also known as the Boot and Bottle, where Graham Hill and Colin Chapman shared a beer once, to bring you the 2017 Formula One season review. We're going to bring the curtain down on another year of Formula One. Coming up, too many people trying to review the 2017 season. Inevitable arguments over Lewis Hamilton, what we're already looking forward to in 2018, and the results of the 2017 Prediction League, which is exactly the only reason why Steve's here. Joining us on the pod this week is everyone, pretty much. Let's go around the table. We have got Damon Hill fan and Mustang owner, fresh from Abu Dhabi, Richard Baxter.
Good evening.
We've got fellow NRF1 podcast founder, Perry Hamilton.
Hello.
We've got two times Beckles kart champion, Kyle Cumbers.
Hello there.
We have budding F1 correspondent and a man Hamilton fans love to hate, Callum Springle.
Good evening.
We have two times, Prediction League champion Steve Rust.
Good evening.
And motoring journalist David Tillier, DT.
I'm only here for the food.
Yeah, literally. You came here for your meal. What did you order? Actually, we don't care. That's
right. Okay. Lamb shoulder.
You can review it when we get through, as will Ped too. That's not like we're not all eating stuff, but I think me and Kyle are stuck on chips, and Callum's going to join in too. Hope everyone's well. I have to ask that as a generic question because it'd take too long to find out. But is anyone not well? Okay, brilliant. Well, that's good. Let's just get stuck into it, shall we? I know some of us are perfectly down with exactly what happened all over the 2017, and some, like myself, had to take in the season reviews for 20 minutes just to remind ourselves what actually happened. So, 2017 season is all done. We can now be properly opinionated about it. Was it any good? Rich?
I think it was. I think it's been much more exciting than the previous three seasons, just for the aspect of having a different driver and two different teams fighting for the championship for the majority. But yeah, it's not the best we've had.
It was a brilliant season up to Malaysia when the sort of championship was decided. Yeah, it was. We thought it would be a classic, and watched the end of the last race would be the title decider, but it was a 7.5 out of 10.
Well, there we go, straight in the ratings. What got me watching or flicking through the season review was that the season was ticking along brilliantly, and then we got to Spa, and there was the moment where Sebastian Vettel should have overtaken Lewis Hamilton and didn't have the grunt to do it. And actually, everything unravelled from there pretty much, and Singapore was a blow-up. Lewis won in Monza, of course, before that. It was just that moment where Sebastian Vettel's Ferrari couldn't overtake the Mercedes, and actually, when you looked at it as a whole, you're like, oh, that felt like it.
Well, yeah, it was pretty much over from Malaysia, because I suppose after Singapore it felt somewhat inevitable that Hamilton was going to win it. You know, the Mercedes has been pretty much bulletproof. And I think their only failure in terms of reliability this season was because of Bottas's engine being over the limit on mileage early on. So overall, they've had quite a good car, and they've had probably more underlying speed than Ferrari. You know, they've had more poles with Hamilton than with Vettel, and they had more front row lockouts than Vettel, or they had as many front row lockouts rather as Vettel had poles. So the speed's definitely there, and you can say what you want about the race pace, but as we saw from, you know, races like Brazil and Abu Dhabi, if you're following, you can't really get past unless you have a massive advantage, which Ferrari don't have.
Steve, did it keep your attention all year long?
I just love to watch Formula One races, to be fair, so yeah, it did. But, you know, granted, I think like three quarters of the season, that was the best bit, really. And then after that, I think it was a case of most races for any people, if they bothered to watch them, was a case of just keep an eye on it and that's it. It was quite a good season. Yeah, I think it sort of became inevitable that, I think from sort of Silverstone, there was kind of glimpses there of which way it probably was going to be going, although that wasn't truly shown until probably really Monza. You know, I think that was then sort of looking likely where it was going. But I'd give the season a 7 out of 10. I think it's better than probably the last couple of seasons, at least.
Which just leaves me with Ped and DT, who coincidentally are the ones eating as well. Because
The food hasn't arrived yet.
No, because you're talking now, which is good. Now, is it worth bringing you to him? Because, let's be frank, this season kind of petered out for you both.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think because of that, for me, I think we sit around, we go around the table, and Callum and Steve have touched on it very well, and they sort of said, you know, yeah, you could see which way it was going, and from this point in the season, it was very, very clear. And, you know, Mercedes did have this great advantage, and Ferrari actually weren't there and about. But let's think back to about halfway through the season and just before. Let's look at the stats. Sebastian Vettel's never lost a world championship race where he has led. If he's led a championship race, he's won it. We had that. We had Sebastian Vettel leading the championship. And I think almost the novelty of, holy crap, there's a team challenging Mercedes, it's not dominant, was really new to us, because obviously we had a couple of years of dominance. So there's us sort of going, hang on a minute, this is new, Vettel's in the lead, this is all fresh. And I think maybe now with the sort of downward trend in the viewership or whatever it is Steve mentioned on it, you know, having it on in the background rather than fully engaging with it, that presenteeism, if you will, I'm there but I'm not really fully switched on. Take that away and go back to where we were, and actually there were really exciting parts of this season where you probably sat there going, oh crap, if all Ferrari need is that one adjustment, maybe that next update, and it's there. And then because it all fell apart, you know, for them, and we're kind of there going, oh yeah, same on Mercedes. But actually there were parts of this season where I was sat there on the edge of my seat going, this is brilliant, this is, you know, the F1 fight is back. And I think maybe that might be a bit fresher because I stopped watching after Hamilton, had it locked up. I was just like, and also, you know, Sundays from September onwards for me, just write them off, because there's only one thing I'm doing,
which will be the NFL, for anyone worried about Ped's interests.
And to add to that, actually, there was an interesting stat I heard at the weekend, and that said, I think it was for 12 of the races, Hamilton was trailing Vettel in the points. And I think for a 20-race season, that's the majority. So it was a lot tighter than it actually looked like it was at the end.
You've made me feel better, because I realised that mid-season predictions, I still predicted Sebastian Vettel would win the Drivers' Championship. Like, oh, f***ing idiot, what am I doing? But actually,
hang on,
at the time...
Hang on your face, my
not
friend.
Not for the first time, I'm going to have to eat my hat again. DT?
Yeah, I think of the first half, maybe two-thirds, I was hooked. You know, this, like Ped said, this was the first time in a couple of years where we've had a different coloured car challenging for dominance. And I honestly thought at the start of the season, I thought Hamilton's probably going to walk away with it again. Ferrari, Red Bull, they might get in the mix a bit, but ultimately Mercedes are going to have the best car. But actually, for a little while, it was, you know, it was tit for tat for a while. But then halfway through the season, Mercedes really got their rhythm together. Ferrari tailed off, and because that, once, you know, especially once it was sealed, I just lost interest, unfortunately, which is unlike me because I normally will persevere till the end.
But is it the sort of interest that you pick up again as soon as the winter comes around and it all resets?
Yeah, definitely. There's no doubt that that's the wonderful thing about Formula One, is that as soon as the season ends, everything does reset, and they like to chop and change things. And I know we haven't got that many changes for next year, but we have got a few changes and a few things that are coming along that are going to mix things up a little bit, maybe. So let's wait and see. And you know, the thing with Formula One is you never can 100% predict. You have a fairly good idea of how it's going to go, but you know, don't have to go back that far to look at 2009 with Brawn. No one ever predicted that they were going to be as fast as they were, but lo and behold, they absolutely smashed it. So, you know, a new season definitely was always going to reinvigorate my passion for the sport.
You only have to look at our prediction league to realise how you can definitely not predict everything that's happening in Formula 1. Did we get the season and the title battle we wanted in the end? Did it actually let us down a bit?
I think we kind of did, really, because it's not like we thought we did, and then a quarter of the way through the season we realised that we didn't, and it was a foregone conclusion. It did take us pretty much to the three-quarter point. So I think we did. But I think the speed was always there in that Mercedes car, but I think it was probably their most awkward car they designed, in the terms of that it was affected by multiple different changes and conditions and tracks and things, that it was pretty much unpredictable. You know, they would turn up one week and would be unbeatable the next week. They would be trailing Ferrari. But that, some of that is what gave us, you know, the sort of the up until the three-quarter point, you know, some excitement. So it's not all bad.
In many ways, I do think we were robbed, and I think we were robbed primarily by Verstappen's reliability or DNFs or whatever it is, because I genuinely think he could have played spoiler and put some pressure on those, so that, you know, when Hamilton was first, Vettel wasn't second, and, you know, I think he could have been that wedge that actually made it a little more difficult to overcome. And he's never going to be the guy that wins the championship, but he is the guy that, he's the asterisk you have to take account of. And I think because he fell so far out with all of his, you know, failures to finish and issues, that maybe took away some of the excitement of the race for me. It made it a two-horse thing, where you there's always that guy that you're like, well, he might not win the whole championship, but he's certainly going to get in there and F stuff up, you know.
When you say never, you mean never this year?
Sure, yeah. I'm not falling into the Rosberg trap. No.
What, of Verstappen?
Yeah, I'm not saying he's never going to win a championship. No, that's not what I'm saying.
Most people say he's definitely going to. I'm curious as to your hesitation that he's not definitely going to win a world championship.
I didn't say he wasn't going to win a championship.
But you sort of hesitated.
I didn't understand your question.
Oh, okay.
I'd kind of forgotten half the stuff I said when I said it, right? So then you're suddenly starting to challenge my stuff, and I'm just like, oh my God, I've got a backtrack. Can you just play it back for me and we'll have a listen to what I said?
I'll tell you what. Max Verstappen, future world champion?
Yes.
Right. Sorry, just checking. Should we talk about Ped's not used to it.
Take that light out of my face, Michael.
Just keeping you on your toes. We are going to do our of the season awards, but I feel like we should talk about Lewis now. So let's talk about Lewis now, because you distill it. Everything he's done this season, it's a record-breaking season. He's in all sorts of record books. He has thrust himself into the sports echelons alongside the likes of Ayrton Senna, Fangio, to proper top rating Formula One drivers. Yes, Ped. Yes, Michael Schumacher. You know, the guy is the very top elite level that this sport has ever seen. Is that where it is?
I am leading the knighthood for Lewis Hamilton train straight away. You look at some of the people, there are people who have knighthoods and recognition from this country's crown that do not have the level of success that he has in his sport for the sustained amount of time that he has in his sport. You know, look at, okay, I'm not saying that this person doesn't have that level of success, but look at someone like Mo Farah. Mo Farah has set records. Mo Farah has won multiple championships, and he has inspired children to go out and get involved. The problem with Lewis is, what's he inspiring kids to do? Go out and spend their parents' money on karting. Sorry, Carl. You know, so it's not the easiest thing for people to say, oh yeah, it's inspiring the grassroots. But actually, go out there and find another sports personality in the upper financial echelons of the kind of sport that they are in, who is as connected with their fans as Lewis Hamilton is. I know Callum's just begging to disagree with me on this. But he's very connected with his fans. He's out there. He takes the time. He always appreciates that. He connects with them, whether it's on social media or what have you. Yes, he's building a brand. Of course he is. That's what today's day and age is for sports personalities. But the level of success he's had, the way that he represents himself, and the way he represents not only Britain but the sport itself, how can you not? He's in the record books. How can you not give this man some form of recognition from the crown?
He's a superstar. And the way he bounced back from Apache first half of the year to come back after the summer break, 5 wins, 1 second place. You sort of forget about that pole lap in Monza, which is nearly a second ahead, I think it was. Just the way he came back and just blew Vettel and Ferrari away and put pressure on them. That's what champions are made of.
I remember seeing as well, Lewis touching on the fact that at Hungary he had to let Valtteri back through, and it was a curious decision, and the timing was nuts, and we were all going, what the hell is he doing? And Lewis himself said even he was doubting whether he should have done it or not, but lots of good things happened after that, so there we go.
Yeah, I mean, that was I think that was a nice thing to do, and I think it was well appreciated. Whether we knew are we just pausing, are we?
No, you keep talking, Steve, while Dave gets his lamb, DT gets his lamb shoulder. Very nice.
Distracted now. But no, I mean, he's a very deserving four-time champion. And, you know, I could make a wider opinion than that, but Ped covered it perfectly, to be fair. The only thing I'd really add to that is, I mean, I think Hamilton performs best when he's backs to the wall. So when he's behind, you know, and I think that's a sign of a true talent, really. You know, when they're really up against it, they don't crack under pressure, and he performs at his best, and that's exactly what he does. You know, when he's behind, he always comes back. And I remember a really great quote to back that up was from Jenson Button many seasons ago, and he said, to have him as my teammate, he said, I almost hated beating him because I knew that he would find a way and he wouldn't just come back and beat me, he would absolutely destroy me psychologically, mentally and everything. And he says that's what he's like to race with, you know, and that's a sign of a true talent.
I'll ask for your view, DT, because I know it won't be very long because I know you're starving.
Smells really good. The only thing I really want to touch on with Lewis is that I've noticed something almost next level about him this year in the way that he's conducted himself and the way that he's dealt with what adversity that he has had this year and been able to turn that round. You know, Lewis has always had a knack for kind of coming back fighting, but he's had episodes before where he's sort of thrown his toys out of the pram or he's been moody or have you, whereas I think this year he's just kind of got, it feels like he's got all his ducks in a row and he's really performing at his very, very best. And for me, although it's not been the most stellar season that he's been seriously involved in, I think for him it's definitely probably one of his most impressive world championships, I think, from that point of view.
Beautiful. Rich?
Yeah, something just going back to what Ped said, something that really stood out in Abu Dhabi on the Thursday.
For the record, Rich is getting a lot of stick for bringing up Abu Dhabi all the time.
Did you go?
Yeah, I know I've hardly mentioned it, but I did go.
Fortunately, he got out of VJ's yacht to come and join us back in Norfolk because me and Kyle were particularly worried about you.
I got dropped off. He dropped me off from Riverside this evening.
Yeah.
Well, it's straight up the Wensum.
you and VJ. Anyway, carry on, go on.
Yeah, back to touch on something Ped said about how he represents Britain and things. Something I noticed on the Thursday out there, they had like an autograph session on the stage and there was an absolute scrum of people we're in, about three, four from the front. And the amount of people from other countries over the world who were calling for him and Valtteri as well, to be fair, but especially for Lewis as he was going past, the amount of people wanted his signature, wanted to just get a photo, wanted a wave. It was incredible, the amount of people from just all over the place who couldn't speak English but could only say Lewis. It was basically how it was.
Do you know that for a fact? Or?
Well, put it this way, they weren't speaking English at the time, apart from the word Lewis, trying to get his attention. It was quite incredible. He does have a lot of people who aren't fans of his, and he isn't perfect all the time on the track, but I don't think there's been a world champion you can say has ever driven for the whole career perfectly and never made a mistake, because ultimately we're all humans. You can argue somewhat lucky to have gone to Mercedes at the right time, but you know, the way he's driven still has been incredible. He's the first British four-time world champion. I think no matter what individual people think of him, you have to celebrate someone with that talent doing what, you know, their bit for their country, for the nation. And we should, you know, as general public, take pride in a sportsman like this, because it is great to do. And of course, a lot of people have been seeing the shortlist for the BBC Sports Personality, and there's hell of a shortlist, I tell you, because I know Ped mentioned Mo Farah. You've got Anthony Joshua on there as well. He's doing great things with boxing. I can't remember half the others, but there's so many.
I didn't recognise, to be honest, but I shouldn't say that probably. But
there's so many people who are, you know, on there fighting for it. So
I'm consumed by Formula One and Norwich City and not much else at the moment. But there we go. Now this is going to seem quite mean, isn't it? Because I'm now coming over to you, Callum, and it's not meant to be like that. But you know, you've had some heated exchanges with some Lewis Hamilton fans in recent weeks, and we've heard your views on Lewis on here, which is, you know, nothing controversial. It's a perfectly balanced and reasonable opinion. I'm just curious what you think when, you know, everyone else sort of waxes so lyrical about him, and where you stand on Lewis's season this year and where his career kind of is left now heading into 2018.
I don't disagree too much with a lot of what's just been said. I suppose all that I really have left to add is that what I believe is that the very best of the drivers, you know, Prost, Senna, Schumacher, they'll have years, not necessarily whole careers or even whole portions of their careers, but they will have a good 2 or 3 years where they were pretty much perfect most weekends. If you look at it this season, Hamilton, well, before he won the title, particularly early on in the season, there were races where Bottas was really on his pace, who is a competent driver but isn't on his level, and also had races like Monaco, like Russia, Austria, where he just wasn't at it to various different degrees. So, you know, if you look at, let's say, Schumacher, he had 2002, 2004, 2001, 95, where he was basically off it. You know, he had an off weekend probably two times or one time in the whole each of those years. And in, even in 2002, he wasn't off the podium for the whole season, and he was only once in third. So he was pretty much perfect, and Hamilton's had one year like that. So for me, it's not as though he won't be a great or, you know, really on that level. It's just that he needs a couple of years where he has some stiff competition and just meets it perfectly and is pretty much not missing a beat throughout, you know, the vast majority of the year. Whereas this year, he's gotten a little bit lucky with the reliability, you know. It would just be nice to see him, like, seriously pushed by the very best.
We are another chapter from the Lewis Hamilton haters on the NRFM podcast.
I've had lengthy discussions with plenty of other Hamilton fans on, you know, in various situations. But for the most part, I've managed to have, you know, civil conversations or debates even with them, and use reason and actually be able to kind of dovetail off of what they've said. Whereas on Twitter, I think most of the time, yeah, people have just been raging at me, and it's, you know,
the problem with that line was on Twitter, I think. But we love Twitter, and that is exactly what Twitter is. The food is lovely, thank you so much. You're doing a great job here at the Rush Cutters, where, as we said earlier, Colin Chapman and Graham Hill once shared a pint, because someone on Twitter told us. So obviously it's definitely true.
Have straws.
I don't know.
I was about to say, do they share the same pint? Because you'd have thought they'd have been able to afford one each.
I think they probably could. But, you know, we've been recording here for years, and we didn't know that two Formula One greats had a pint here. Ridiculous.
Two other Formula One greats, you mean, other than us? Yeah.
Right, we've got our races ratings. I thought I'd just bring everyone up to speed with these. Now, the problem was we only started doing them after... No, Canada, I was going to say, actually. Canada was the first one we did. Because had we have started at Azerbaijan, that would have been ridiculous. But if we just go through these, Abu Dhabi, sorry, Rich, I know you were there, but it was we gave it 4.3 out of 11.
I'll tell you something. All the action, I put action in quotes, happened in front of us, much like it did at Silverstone.
What?
So, Ricciardo broke down, if you can call that action, and Sainz,
yes,
had a wheel fail to go on properly, came out the pit lane right in front of us.
Wow. Lucky you.
Kevin Magnussen spin in front of you?
Magnussen span in front of us as well.
What a race. That was comfortably the worst race of the year. Then, it working our way up... working our way up, Italy and Japan were then joint 5.38. Then it was Malaysia and Hungary on 6.5, Mexico on 6.75. Then we had Austria, Belgium, and Singapore on 7. I'm not sure how much of these I agree with. Then the USA on 7.5. The USA was a better race than Singapore, was it? Okay. Brazil on 8.5. I mean, really? The British Grand Prix was on 8.75, but let's be clear, that's probably because me, Rich, and Kyle did that rating on the grid at the Grand Prix, having just watched it. Canada, then 9. With the Canadian Grand Prix worth 9. That is giddy. 9 out of 11.
It's always worth 9. Yeah, well, it's the best Grand Prix.
Because it happened in Canada.
Full stop.
Are you enjoying your food, Pet?
Yeah. Here's some of my food. Yeah.
And then quite clearly, Azerbaijan at a 12 out of 11.
Who would have predicted that last year?
Well, someone did, I think, didn't they?
Because it's pretty last year, wasn't it?
But then the GP2 race was nuts good. Yeah. And everyone said it was just because Formula 1 were a little bit scared. GP2, the Formula 1 drivers were scared of it. But, I mean, will we top that race next year, let alone this?
Maybe.
You're just deleting, aren't you? Well, there we go. That's the rating. So officially, Azerbaijan was our race of 2017. Well done, Baku. You better do that again next year, please. Right, let's do some plugs quickly. If you really like what we do here on the NRF1 podcast, you want us to help spread the word even more, do more initiatives and fun things, got loads of ideas, then you can become an NRF1 supporter. Visit patreon.com, patreon.com/ NRF1 and have a look there. That will be getting a big revamp over the winter, I can promise you. And if you want to make sure you never miss an episode of the NRF1 podcast, then get subscribed through your podcast player of choice. Just visit nrf1.uk/podsubscribe and you'll find the link for you. And we're hopefully adding a few more, like Spotify, hopefully, and a couple of others. So keep an eye out for those on our social media feeds. We'll bring you up to date there. And if there's anything you want to send us over the winter, regardless of there not being any actual races, if you want to keep in touch with us, let us know your thoughts. Please do. We'll keep them in the pot for next season, of course. The email address, we love hearing from you, nrf1podcast@gmail.com.
Hello everyone, this is Jake Humphrey here. You're listening to the best Formula One podcast from the best county in the world, the NRF1 podcast. And I wasn't paid any money to say that.
No, I did give you some beers.
Welcome back to our episode 213. A quick update. I've managed to spill 5 beers all over the carpet on a tray. I'm not drunk. I just spilt it all. And Laura from the Rush Cutter is doing a very good job of mopping it all up. I was trying, but that wasn't happening. And then I almost spilt drinks on the table. Everyone's eating their desserts. Yeah, Ped's enthralled by his sundae. There's a video of everyone's desserts, which I'm sure you'll be all very keen to watch. And also, Steve had a fact about Baku. I can't remember what it was, Steve, because it already feels like hours ago.
So Azerbaijan is the only country on the F1 calendar that we go to that is actually still at war with a neighbouring country.
That is Bernie's legacy, people.
But, again, I've only read this on the internet, so it must be true. It's not the only country that they go to that is in a declared state of conflict with another country, because there is a disputed island between Canada and Denmark. Right? Yeah, anyone else heard this? So this is what I've read.
Rings a bell.
This is what I've read. There's a disputed island. So Canada say it's theirs. Denmark say it's theirs. It's probably halfway in between, something like that. Greenland are probably just looking at it going, we don't want it. But what happens is periodically, they send the military from the respective country over and the Danish go over. They take down the Canadian flag, put up the Danish flag and leave a bottle of schnapps. Canadians go over, take down the Danish flag, put up the Canadian flag and leave a bottle of maple syrup. That is what I've read. That is what I've read.
Well, let's go there and see what's left.
It's like the best standard.
I said it was disputed conflict. I said it was a conflict.
There's a scale to these things.
It's the Danish and the Canadians. You're going to get gorgeous bacon out of that no matter what happens. Maple glazed bacon. Like, that's the thing.
I'm just thinking there must be some sort of pun there, but I'm still traumatised by spilling all the beers. So.
Well, I was just thinking if Baku's the only one, or Azerbaijan's the only country, I think if not next year, the year after, we've got the US Grand Prix, haven't we? Yeah. Trump's going to go to war with someone, isn't he?
If he's still around. Anyway, let's move on, because that's really not what we're going to be talking about. Of the season's awards, so let's go through these. Anyone who wants to put forward their suggestion of the various nominees, and then we can discuss them. We'll try and keep it nice and tight and flow through them nice and quickly. So first of all, Rodolfo Gonzalez, driver of 2017. Let's have your nominations.
Charles Leclerc.
Oh, he hasn't raced in Formula One, Callum.
Still my driver of the season.
Those FP1 sessions were pretty good.
And he will be driving in Formula One in 2018, of course, which is very exciting. Are you sticking with that?
Well, if I have to go for a serious one, I'd probably say Ocon.
Yeah, going. Kyle says, damn it.
That's what I was going to go for, yeah. Mr. Consistent.
Not his rookie season, but, you know, still.
For me, I think I'd say, controversially, maybe Verstappen. It's been probably the most difficult season of his career so far. Suffered a lot of breakdowns, especially in the first half. And I think he's learnt a lot about himself, about the team, and really discovered something new about Formula One, basically.
Yeah, he didn't really have a meltdown. That was quite impressive, actually, as hard as it got at times.
I'll go the other side of the Red Bull guys, say Ricciardo. I think he did really, really well because he was often there. He was often that third spot quite regularly, which is really all you're going to be able to expect from that car. And, you know, Verstappen has shown what can happen when you push it maybe too far, or there is reliability issues with it, and he didn't manage to have that. So he stuck around and he did really, really well. And I think he led the charge for Red Bull for a lot longer than people thought he would, because obviously everyone thought the flag, you know, that he handed that torch over to Verstappen quite quickly, because he is future world champion, as we clearly discussed. There's no ambiguity about that, Michael, earlier. So I just think I'd give it to Daniel Ricciardo.
I don't think I'm allowed to say this dessert, am I?
What?
For my driver.
No, it's good though.
Because it's pretty f***ing epic, this.
Yeah, yes.
No, I think it's a really difficult one, because I want to say Verstappen, but
Charles Leclerc was just so good.
Yeah, I want to say Verstappen, but at the same time, Hamilton's had some pretty outstanding weekends, but he hasn't had an outstanding season overall, I think, in terms of just his performance. I think he's been outstanding in other areas, but I think he's not, his performance maybe not as outstanding as it has been in other seasons maybe. I'm going to stick with Verstappen, I think.
Okay.
That's a difficult one.
Steve? You're demolishing that Sunday, by the way.
Mm, very good. I was actually, before Callum said anything, I was thinking Ocon because of his collisions with his teammate and things like that.
I like the fact that Bob Fernley, I think, said that the good thing about Esteban Ocon is that he didn't finish ahead of Sergio Perez this season, so he's still got something to do next year, which I quite like that logic, because Sergio will be knowing he's breathing down his neck, and I think it'll be a very interesting conflict between those two. I'd say Esteban probably, but three great shouts, and I can't think of anyone else worth nominating for actual driver of the season.
Sainz.
Pretty impressive year, didn't he? I mean, the amount of points of finishes he had, you compare him to Kvyat,
and got himself promoted to a works team.
Yeah,
I love how nobody said Vettel.
Well, Raikkonen.
To be fair, I probably would say Vettel, but yeah, the Twitter storm would just be horrendous.
For me, I think any of the top drivers, Hamilton and Vettel especially, it's almost you can't nominate them because that's what we've almost grown to expect from them, because we know how good on their day they both are.
Well, Julian Palmer maybe next year. How about team?
I think he might get mentioned quite soon, Michael, if you're going down the list, don't you worry.
Okay,
I actually forgot he was racing this year. From
team of the season.
Force India.
Yeah,
most impressive.
Certainly not
McLaren.
No, not quite McLaren, no.
I agree with Force India, but I also want to say Ferrari from where they came from last season.
Yeah.
To be title challengers.
Yeah, even though they sort of f***ed it up a little bit.
Even though their drivers f***ed up and they...
Not them.
Well, Singapore was a massive turning point when both of them retired.
I mean, Silverstone will remain one of the most crazy things ever, that both cars lost the front left within the same lap, and both right in front of us.
Malaysia failing as well. Maybe it was partly the team.
There we go.
Maybe that was a chance.
Hey, we like those ones too.
I'm going to go Renault. Because I kept saying earlier in the season, you watch, they'll be top five by the end of the year. They position themselves for a good run next year. I actually do think
seventh.
You look at Renault and actually they've from where they were, they didn't start out with a lot of presence. They've done quite well. Hülkenberg was consistently outperforming Palmer, and then they went and got Sainz. I think they've got a really strong driver lineup for next year, so I think they've done all right there. But you know, they deserve a mention. I wouldn't say they're my team of for sure, but they deserve a shout.
I think special mention for Red Bull as well. I think they've consistently been the third team and have actually had some pretty decent results. Their first half of the season means that they can't be mentioned, I think, for team of the year, because they had, their reliability was pretty poor, but overall in terms of pace, I think they've been quite impressive to be the best of the rest.
Let's move on to Pastor Maldonado, or Daniil Kvyat Torpedo, I guess, because it's probably the last time ever we'll be referring to him in a podcast of the season. You know, the one who was I sense there's a few names you want to get off the chest, so should we go around?
Charles Leclerc, no. I just think Palmer has shit the bed probably consistently since he's been in Formula 1, which is a real shame, because we like to see A, British people succeed, and B, local lad. Ish succeed. So it's a shame, but it is what it is. There are not many people in the world that are cut out to drive cars at that level. They are the top 20 drivers in the world. Not everyone is going to be one of the top 20 drivers in the world, you know. So well done, you gave it a crack, you lasted a good few seasons, something you can tell your grandkids. Now f*** off to DTM.
Vettel.
Oh,
for blowing it. You should have won the championship this year.
Oh,
and I think Ferrari will go backwards.
Oh,
this is this
savage. Nailed it. It's that dessert. Go on then, Callum.
I'll stick with the Ferrari theme and go for Raikkonen.
Oh, I was going to say.
Yeah.
Give me Raikkonen.
Just retire, for f***'s sake. Why are you just driving around chasing Grand Prix, you know, finishes?
Is he? I don't know if he's even doing that. I don't even know if he knows where he should
be. Oh, for God's sakes.
There you go. You hit it here first, Kimmy.
But turn up so that you can do radio messages for us every weekend. Yeah. Because they're my favourite.
Yeah. I can't even understand what he says half the time, to be honest.
DT?
Yeah, Palmer, Raikkonen, definitely good shouts.
That'll do. This is a wide-ranging one. Giuliano Salvi, moment of the season. A moment of the season? I mean, Baku, probably. There were several in there.
Silverstone. Oh, it was brilliant as always, wasn't it? You know, we call us biased, but it's great. It's a great race. It never fails to disappoint.
I mean, we had an amazing time at Silverstone this year. Me, Rich and Kyle, that was wonderful. Also, the start of Singapore, I think that was a moment where you literally went, and everyone was talking about it as a moment
Murray
itself.
Walker's famous line of anything can happen in Formula One. Dot dot dot.
Yeah, I was going to finish it, Rich. No, he's not going to. Callum did. I heard Callum
finished it. So.
Callum finished it. That's true. Meeting Damon Hill.
That was.
Yeah.
I've got another one though.
Oh.
I sound like Uncle Albert from Only Fools and Horses. You know, during the war. Okay.
A lot of war talk in this podcast.
When I was in Abu Dhabi. Yeah, Thursday, they had the interview sessions for the drivers and everything.
You've done this story.
No, but there was this guy in front of us, okay, and he had his daughter with him, and she was probably 3-4 years old, and she was sat on top of the little security fence thing, and she had a Renault hat on. And I was like, oh, that's quite nice, supporting...
He pushed her into the track.
So the Renault drivers came out, and she was waving to Nico Hülkenberg and called his name, and he came over, signed her hat, gave her a signed picture and stuff, had a photograph of her. They then answer some questions. They walk off, and she goes, Nico, and waves. Next up are the Ferrari drivers. The dad whips her hat off, puts it in a bag, whips out a Ferrari hat, puts it on her. Okay?
This is amazing.
Then pulls out a scale model Formula One car, a Vettel's car, and some other posters and stuff from this bag he had. Got them to sign it. Then, following that, were the Mercedes drivers. So, as soon as the Ferrari driver's out of sight, that gear's in the bag, out comes a Mercedes hat.
All ending up on eBay, presumably.
This is exactly the thing I said. As soon as you get back, to hotel, look on eBay, it will be there. And I thought, I saw this girl and I thought, that's really nice. At that age, she's meeting her favourite drivers. And I suddenly realised...
She's a fence.
All respect, it might not have been like that, but you're basically, this guy was using her daughter to get merchandise, and it was hell of a moment.
I'm reminded of Barcelona, where the kid was crying and met Kimi, you know, was the dad or mum sat there with a pen in its chest going, go on, cry, you'll be on telly.
Thomas.
Very cynical. Thomas, good memory, well done. I'm sure, hopefully he stopped crying now. Let's hope so.
Kimmy's adopted him now.
I think that's unlikely. Right, so there we go, they're the awards. I don't think there's any other awards. I can't think of anyone else. Rookie of the Year, I mean, they're all weren't they? Was there anyone who was any good?
Well, you could just kill them. Argue... Ocon was a rookie because it was his first full season.
Nah.
But he did have half a season last year in a not the quickest
I goal. Think my highlight was, despite the speculation, Pastor Maldonado did not come back. I think we all enjoyed seeing Jensen get back in a car again for like 3 laps.
Yeah, DT's got his hand up then. I mean, yes.
My moment of the season, probably just going off what Ped said, in practice during Monaco, Button overtaking Hamilton on the outside at Nouveau Chicane.
Oh, it's like old times, sort of.
Either that or Super GT.
Yes.
Which he's actually doing next year full time.
Is he?
So,
yes, no, he's done it, yeah.
Either that or that moment where he told Alonso he was going to pee in his seat, because we all love that too.
We did.
Yeah.
Jensen made the most of his comeback, didn't he? Pastor Maldonado didn't appear at any point this season, did he? He didn't even rock up at a race.
He didn't even turn up in Felipe Massa's video of his kid.
Which, I mean, that's mean. That is mean.
Williams didn't even get Maldonado to fill in. They got Paul DeResta too.
Yeah, fair
play. So.
Well, there we go. They are the season awards. Well done, 2017. Well done, thank you. Well done, 2017. Hurrah! We've all finished our desserts. This is going swimmingly. Ped, are you not finished? No. Kyle, are you two all right?
Well,
I don't know.
I've had a meal before. He hasn't. So.
I had like half a meal earlier on.
Yeah,
I've sort of stretched out.
Rich had a booner.
I had a big meal. I smashed the out of my.
That's enough to talk about desserts. Follow us on social media because we'll probably take some pictures of our food. You can follow us on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook. The handle for all three is at the NRF1. Keep track of what we're doing on social media. You can also tell us all your thoughts and opinions and questions there and keep in touch with us, of course. And the website, nrf1.uk, is a place to find all our blog stats, prediction league standings, and all sorts. So, very briefly, because time is pressing, 2018, we know a little bit about what's going to happen. Is there one thing each of us is looking forward to next year to get us all, you know, whetted appetite ahead of another Formula One season?
Something that is exciting me, we've already talked about Charles Leclerc. When I was in Abu Dhabi...
Did you meet him?
We did see him on stage, but we didn't go, like, run over.
You didn't go up on stage and join him?
No. Okay. But, the F2 race on the Sunday morning. Yeah, Sunday morning for us. It was afternoon there, which was really strange. He had hell of a race, basically, in F2. on the last race. Last lap, took the lead, won the race. It was a really good drive. His overtake was pretty extraordinary, to be honest. And it was really impressive. And I saw that, and I hadn't really seen too much of him beforehand, so I wasn't really sure what to make of him. But after saying that, I'm quite excited to see what we can do in F1 with, hopefully, a car that's going to be at least up to race pace.
Callum, yes? Is that what you're looking forward to most next year?
Well, Mercedes are changing the philosophy of the car, so hopefully they completely it up and we get someone different.
Three wheels. I love that, brilliant. Who else?
I'm just looking forward to McLaren not having Honda.
Yes.
That'll be interesting to see. I mean, I don't know, it's going to be weird having a McLaren Renault that just doesn't sound right, but still.
I don't care how it sounds, let's see how it goes.
Alonso will be happy, he always seems to come back to Renault, doesn't he?
I think that it's going to be much closer for the whole year right between Ferrari and Mercedes next year.
Yes.
Because I remember the latter part of last season, Ferrari said that their main focus was 2018, although they had been working hard on 2017. So that sort of at the time, I was sort of thinking, well, that maybe they'll end up doing a Mercedes from sort of the 2012 through to 2014. So yeah, I think it'll probably be a lot closer because of that. But then maybe they were closer this year than they expected and spent a bit too much time on this year's car, so maybe not, but we can all hope.
I have two things I'm excited about. Number one, I'm excited for Verstappen to be able to see him be more consistent and be more exciting, and I'm excited for Canada.
Give it a 9 now. Red Bull will be in with a Renault engine again next year, but it's the last year, yeah?
Yeah. Well, yeah. No. They're not obliged to go with Honda, are they?
It's Toro Rosso.
Yeah, because they've got a slightly separate sort of thing, because that was raised on one of the programmes, and it's not inevitable that they'll end up going that direction. I think they can still stick with Renault.
Yes, I hope that's true.
Don't Renault have to give them an engine if they want it? Isn't that the deal within Formula 1? There's some weird...
The deal is that any team that is without an engine has to be given an engine. So it'll probably end up being Honda if Renault refuse to.
Well, we know that the Formula 1's going to have a flashy new logo, so that's exciting. Already has. So that's going to make it go a lot quicker next year.
I would love it if Honda get it right next year. And
Fernando.
Yeah, it all goes a little bit wrong at McLaren, and Toro Rosso are ahead of McLaren.
Could you imagine it?
It's going to be quite funny in a way. It'd be a shame for them, like McLaren and Formula 1 brand and stuff, but it would be hilarious.
Are there any more engine changes, or is that it? Sauber have got...
Aston Martin have said they're interested in coming in 2021 if the engines are revised and it's affordable, which is, of course, the big rumour that was linking them with Red Bull. They're saying 2021, but I'm thinking if they... agree to new engine rules, then we could see them earlier than that, just for a couple of seasons until then. I don't know how likely that is, but it's just an inkling I've got.
Sauber have Ferrari engines, and they are, of course, now Alfa Romeo Sauber Ferrari. I mean, that's like a lot of cars in one place. That's all of them, isn't it? Everyone else is pretty much as was. Yeah, everyone's nodding. And how about Williams' driver lineup? Is that the only one that's still to be confirmed? That one seat next to Lance Stroll?
I haven't had the call yet, so obviously let you know if that happens.
Well, I wouldn't rule out Felipe Massa ending up back there at this rate.
After that dessert, I don't think you'll get it.
I think before that dessert, I wouldn't have got it, mate. I can tell you that right now.
Does anyone here think it will be Robert Kubica?
I do.
Yeah.
I'm going to say so.
I'd like it.
Because what he says is that his fitness is fine and his driving is, quote, 90% of what it was in 2010. So you look at everyone else that's involved in that fight and it's, what, Duresta, Wehrlein and Kvyat. I wouldn't take any of them, to be honest.
Okay, so let's go around the table. I would say I want Kubica, but then it'll probably be Rosberg after 6 weeks when he realises that the agent is better than the driver he's promoting. You?
It'd be quite a nice surprise if it was Kubica, but I really don't know who they're going to go for, but I think there could be better options available, but none of the drivers that we've mentioned so far.
Okay.
I'd like it to be Kubica. I'd be happy with that.
Definitely Kubica.
Kubica.
Yeah, Kubica, yeah.
From a PR point of view, they'd be mad not to take him.
Not Jensen. Right.
Jensen was done in Formula 1 a couple of years ago.
Here's one I'd like to see, though. I'd like to see George Russell put in there.
George Russell. Well done. Well, we'll keep a very close eye on George Russell next year. Great shout, Rich.
Get a deal with Mercedes engines and...
Yeah. Get the could happen. Right, it's the only reason Steve is still here. That's not true. It's not true. It is prediction league results time. Woo! How exciting. Let's no, Ped, you're not going anywhere. What should I say? We've got a couple of things on the podcast stats that I thought I'd say. We had 168,000 listens in the last 12 months on the podcast.
Wow.
That's quite a lot. We did 69 episodes. That's a lot. But we tried to do shorter ones and more frequently, which I think we achieved very well. We had a lot of 3 pods in 3 days. We've done sort of the more longer formats, and we don't really know what we'll do next year. It could be one or the other, but obviously goes without saying, thank you all so much for your support, for listening, for joining in, for getting your comments and questions in, all sorts. The interaction this year has been phenomenal, given this is the 6th year we've done it. Completely new level, and we're all very excited about it taking on another level next year.
And we want to give obviously a special shout out to our friends over in America on the Indie Sports Car podcast, the Linkers. Had a wonderful time talking to them about Baku. That was a really good time, nice long chat and conversation, and those guys are really great at what they do. They get like press pass level, pit lane level for the races over there and everything, so they're knowledgeable guys, and good fun over there with them.
And doing some really important stuff with safety as well, because we spoke to Frank off the back of that too. We've interviewed Jake Humphrey, we've spoken to Stuart Webber, we've had him on the podcast. He's the Norwich City Sporting Director, by the way, but he's also a massive Formula One fan. We've got a few exciting things coming up with the Norfolk Hall of Fame. Norfolk Formula One Hall of Fame, very exciting, and we'll have loads more other stuff coming up next year. We did our first inaugural NRF1 Grand Prix, karting Grand Prix.
Christ, my knee still hurt.
I mean, it basically retired Ped. Callum's still waving with his arms, and I haven't finished the handicapping system or the video from the action, which will hopefully pop up over the winter, but we're going to do that again in future, definitely. So what a fun year, awesome year, topped off by the Prediction League. Now, this has been fairly nuts. When we first did this, it was basically 4 of us coming up with a couple of predictions each race, and it used to take me a couple of minutes. It'd be lovely, and we'd just poodle along, and we'd be, oh, look, he's finished 4th, that's okay. Oh, that's actually last. You know, this year I think we had 36 people involved throughout the season, at times making 20 predictions per race weekend.
Rich.
It has annihilated me in recent weeks. Absolutely annihilated me. We've had a phenomenal response. Thank you to everyone who has been in touch. Apologies as well to the one person who emailed me before the Abu Dhabi Grand Prix, or emailed the nrf1podcast@gmail.com. I saw your email, I was going to reply to it, and now I can't find it, and I don't know who you are. And it was basically asking, I've seen it, how do I get involved? So it's really easy, you just tell us what you want to predict before the FP1 each race weekend, and I'm sorry that I don't know who you are, and I hope you're still listening. But that's it. We might add a rule of no more than 10 predictions per race. Five. Well, I don't know.
For yourself.
Well, for me, maybe.
Yeah, 5.
People do like the way we run it, though. It's a tricky one.
See, I was wondering whether or not we should... I know this is not really how the Prediction League has been run thus far, but whether or not we should have at least one thing where everybody has to predict that one specific thing, where you could go the whole year without ever predicting, like, the top 3 people if you wanted to. Whether or not we should bring in like a one standardised prediction.
It's a good idea, DC.
Like a standardised prediction, and then you can have 4 of your whatever you fancy or whatever.
Maybe bring back, I think it was the perfect prediction of pit stops on what lap, wasn't it? And then Callum's one this year of pole position time down to the 1,000th of a second.
Yeah, okay. Well, we'll consider that as well. There's lots of things we can do in the summer.
I heard it when DT went through a period of just predicting the top 10. Every race.
Every person's finishing position.
I did a couple where I predicted every single position.
What a day that was. Oh, they were the best days. Okay, well, there's lots of things that we can change. What we have now got is a very sound algorithm that takes into perfect consideration kudos points, so how random and how, you know, bold your predictions are, but also how many you get right, which is obviously quite important too. So let's do the reverse order, shall we? All 36. This is great. And you'll be able to find all the results at nrf1.uk/predictf1. From bottom to top, we have David Powell, Jerome, TJ Garrison, Cody Carrett, Camden Rock, Druty, Well done, Druti. Graham Parker, F1 Dino. I don't know how much you knew about it. Stuart Prinsloo, Daniel Hall, Daniel Scarsori, Stuart Hodge, Zach R. Well done, Zach. He's going to keep going properly next year, hopefully, so get involved, Zach. Last Lap Podcast, well done. Sam Todd, he made a reappearance at the end. Come back next year, Sam. Mark Springle, that's Callum's dad. Little raise the eyebrow there from Callum. Dan Springle. You beat them both, Callum. Ashley Norris, Stuart Webber, Nick Holder, Gary Davison, Melissa Rowlands. We're missing you all, Melissa. The food was lovely. Perry Hamilton.
Get in. Not last out of the podcast crew.
Yes.
Yes. I'm a former champion, I'd like to point out. I've won this thing before.
Yeah.
I have.
I've never won it. I've never
very
won
next
it.
Year, I was last.
Yeah. So. Then we have the Dats Live crew. Well done, Dats Live crew. Tom and Dave, we'll get you on the pod next year for definites. Maxwell Kerry, top effort from Maxwell, given he joined halfway through. I think we're going to get close to being chucked out in a minute of the pub. Then it is... is David Tillier.
Hey.
Followed by Kyle Cumbers.
What position is that?
It's a long way down, Kyle. Yeah, not your
Kyle
finest
Cumbers.
Year.
It was the Oracle of Ages, no.
There's not much. Yeah. There's not much Oracle about this year.
You notice how Steve's done quite well recently, but no one calls him the Oracle.
I think that's just because Kyle got there first. I think that was the problem. Then it's Callum. Well done, Callum. He had a great end of season run. One to watch next year, dark horse. Then David Hughes, who emailed his predictions in regularly, did a top job. Well done, David. Not yet. No. Kurt S did a superb job. Well done, Kurt. Jason A. Burnett, fantastic. Jason. Then Richard Baxter.
Oh, go on, Rich.
Yes.
Just pipped to the post by me, Michael Bailey. Then Kieran Cousins. Well done, Kieran. He was a front runner for a long time. Followed just ahead of him, Andy Whitney, who put in a stellar effort all season. Thanks for joining in, Andy and Kieran. Really appreciate it. The only name I haven't read out is the previous two times Prediction League champion, now three times Prediction League champion, Steve Rust. Well done, everyone. Round of applause. Steve, your reaction to that?
What can I say? My predictable predictions won it again.
Yep, at least you're aware of it. That's good. Steve, I think I saw a tear in his eye there. Steve's literally blubbing. Well done, everyone. Let's have a couple of... Rich, you didn't win the kudos points.
No, I have a feeling Andy Whitney probably beat me.
No, it was Kurt. Kurt S. went 111 kudos points. Yeah, that's how much work I've been putting
Kurt's
in.
Crazy.
Kurt did so well.
He's outside the box.
That's his new name on the prediction.
I can get 111 kudos points in 20 races. So.
Yeah, well, how many predictions is that?
That's an average of...
A lot. And Steve's percentage of correct predictions, 57.7%. That was superb. I don't think anyone really... there was a couple of 66.7, but that was from only a couple of rounds.
What,
so top
work. What, Steve, if your prediction completion rate was my free throw completion rate, I'd be well happy. If I'm making over half my three throws, I'm doing well.
Just to put that in context, Steve also got 13 kudos points. Just so we got a little bit of context there. Well done. Superb effort.
Last year I was minus how many kudos points?
That's true, actually. Yeah, I did minus. I did minus, Steve.
Which was purely out of sour grapes, I think.
That'd be Grand Prix, wasn't
it? Yeah, I think it was, yeah. So it's your own fault, really, Steve.
I'd be rich, I know you were there.
Well.
Just sort of bring it up.
When I was in Abu Dhabi.
That's enough of that. No, we're not doing that again. Phenomenal. Top work from everyone. Thank you so much for joining in. Colossal success, I think, is the way to describe that. That is, of course, including all of the race previews as well as the mid-season predictions and pre-season predictions. They're all in there. You can see the full results. Just visit nrf1.uk/predictf1. And that is it. We're done for the year. Mother of Lord. A big thank you to all of these guys and everyone who's joined us on the pod this year. We couldn't do it without you, and I really do appreciate your time. You're all first-class individuals in my mind, and I really appreciate it.
Technically, we couldn't do it without you because you're the one that sends around the text every week. So thank you to you as well, Mike. We'll give up for Mike. We'll give a round of applause for Mike.
I see here with a microphone.
And a child and a wife.
And a child and wife.
Full-time.
A very understanding child and wife.
And another child on the way, so next year will be interesting. Yes. Did you not know that?
No.
Oh, congratulations. Well, thank you very much. There we go. A little keep it till after the podcast. But there we go. So, what's coming up? So, over the winter, keep an eye out on all the social media channels and the podcast feeds. We will hopefully bring you our NRF1 Grand Prix highlights video with the results and confirmed and what have you. Don't worry, Callum. I'm sure you're still one. We're going to hopefully do a best of 2017 podcast. If you don't see that, I'm sorry, I've not done it, but hopefully there'll be one of those, and we'll hopefully kick off the NRF1 Norfolk Formula One Hall of Fame too. And then of course, once the new season comes along, once testing has kind of been and gone, we'll all get together. We might have some new faces, you never know. I'm sure we'll have all the old crew here too.
I should also have a video for you at some point.
Sorry, Rich, what?
I should also have a video for you at some point that you
of
can
what?
Use. Of my time spent in Abu Dhabi.
Oh my lord alive. Sorry, well,
I haven't mentioned it, but
I mean, we can all picture it now. We can all picture it now. Well, that as well. Thank you, Rich.
I feel like I've been there, mate.
And on that note, it's a very goodbye from everyone. So thanks to everyone who's been involved as well. Melissa and Dan Springle, who aren't here tonight. Thank you, DT.
Merry Christmas. Happy New Year.
Thank you, first to say that. Thank you, Steve.
Yep, no worries. Merry Christmas. Happy New Year as well.
Congratulations, of course. Thank you, Callum. Top work.
Likewise.
And top work on the Twitter feed as well, because that would have died a death without you. So I appreciate that. Thank you, Kyle.
Thank you. It's been good fun.
Thanks, Ped.
Thanks, Mike.
Thanks, Rich.
Thank you, everyone.
Thank you, everyone out there. We really do appreciate it. Thanks to our proud partners, Grand Prix Racing Online. Guess what? You can actually sign up to the game. You can. gpro.net/nrf1. Thanks to Future Radio, who hopefully are broadcasting this. Do you reckon, Steve? Yeah, he's saying yes. Good. That's good news. This has been the end. Probably not that bit. Thanks. Thanks to everyone else. And anyone I've forgotten, I do apologise. This has been the NRF1 podcast. That was 2017. We've eaten dessert. DT's had his lamb shoulder. Ped's had all his food. Enjoy your winters. Keep in touch. And we'll all come back refreshed and ready to do it all over again come the new year. Thank you all. And good night.